You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. That's right. Go to patreon.com/blueshirtsbreakaway today to get access to our BSBOTs. Our Discord, which is absolutely insane, ad-free episodes, and more. Today we have our good friend Jesse Marshall on to talk about the Renaissance Penguins and why won't they go away and die? That's what we ask him. We talk about that. And also, look, my bad, we don't talk a lot about the brawl on this episode because it feels like it happened 16 years ago. But it is on the BSBOT. We talk about the storylines heading into the final week of New York Rangers hockey, regular season at least. And without further ado, let's get to talking about all this now. Here's Mark Messier.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Hey, Blue Shirts Breakaway fans. Welcome to another good Blue Shirts Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead, and I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Gregory, say hello.
Ryan, you want to take a stroll down my... First, actually, no, let's start here. Hell of a WrestleMania for you to go to, huh?
Gotta be honest, one of the craziest live events I've ever been to. Wrestling is all the way back. I think Michael Cole said it best at the end. I love pro wrestling. We're so back. And he's right. He's right. It's never been better since the post-Vince McMahon, era has gotten me all the way back in. I'm embarrassed how much I pay attention.
We got Vinny in on wrestling this weekend.
It's the best. The best part about wrestling is that it builds on itself for years and years and years. And all the stuff that you like partook with as a child, you can catch up on it. You can see all the, you know, all the catchphrases, all the little storylines, but they're all incorporated into one mega Avengers event that happened last night.
Yeah, it's the Avengers movies were successful for a reason, but people would be like, I'll go see the Avengers, but I'm not going to watch SummerSlam. All right here, guy. Like, I don't understand why you got to fall for one fairy tale and
not
the other.
When the gong hit.
I had to explain to Vin that there are, so it's a pop in wrestling, and we'll just call it a pop for everything.
Yep.
Every time, what makes wrestling special is when you think people can't possibly get louder, the Undertaker comes back and reminds you that they can.
They absolutely can.
The pop parade we were going, Jimmy comes out first, then Jay, huge pop.
Yep. Seth, the Shield.
Then Solo Sikoa comes out, John Cena, huge pop. Because people were saying, was it going to be Cena or was it going to be Austin? We'll get to the Rangers. They're good at hockey. Relax.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We're going to get there.
The Mets even won baseball games since we last talked. All right? We're talking wrestling off the jump. And then, I'm not going to lie, I think playing the Shield music for Seth was great because I did have 30 seconds of, holy shit.
Is Moxley here?
Is Ambrose? Is it Ambrose?
I know.
Is
this
Dean Ambrose? I was like, if this is Dean Ambrose, I'm going to come.
I know, but
like,
I have no
other choice.
You saw the 10 year thing, right? It's Seth did the 2014 where he hit Roman with a chair and he actually forced him to hit him with a chair so Cody could win. Amazing.
Yeah, that's great storytelling. But then the
long-term booking.
It's just, nobody thinks The Undertaker can still wrestle. He's fucking 60. That's not the point.
No, he was in Saudi Arabia the other week for presenting a trophy for no reason.
But like, we all understand, it's just this visceral feeling you get when you hear bung.
And all the lights go out. Oh my God. The biggest pops. Like, and I've been in the Garden for some pretty big goals over the years. This was one of the biggest pops I've ever seen in my life, period.
Oh, it's just so fucking good. And the main event was great. Both cards were great. I watched Vin fall in love with Bianca Belair in real time.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
fascinating to
First
see.
First of all, very easy to do.
she's perfect. The sound her hair made when she smacked it against, I think, Dakota Kai.
Crazy. And the tag match, which was 48 minutes long, was unbelievable. Hero of the weekend was Seth Rollins by miles. He's amazing. So,
And I mean, the way they opened the card on Sunday, no notes.
Drew McIntyre is a legend. He's on a heater, white hot. White hot.
Oh, man.
He tweeted out, bored at work during the match. That was great. Amazing.
It was great. It was just phenomenal.
All right, let's do Rangers just so we can get back to this if we want.
I guess, fine, whatever.
Sorry, Mania was good. We did 4 minutes on it. Look, I can't believe I'm telling you this. Do you remember that the Rangers played the Devils last week?
No.
That did feels they? Impossible, right?
To be fair, the Rangers played yesterday, and I don't remember who they played.
That's cool. Well, they played the Montreal Canadiens. I didn't watch it. I watched the highlights afterwards.
Did they also play Friday?
They did. They played the Red Wings as well. Patrick Kane did not score, which was awesome.
I saw Johnny had another bad tweet.
Yeah, I wasn't going to comment on it, but I know he listens, but I saw it, and I was like, hey, Johnny, man, if you're going to, I'll just say this. Johnny, if you're going to go heel, you got to go all in, buddy.
Yeah, you can't pussyfoot it, man.
You can't halfway. You got to be like, man, you can't put hand up. You got to be like, you know, dig in. Just keep digging, my friend.
You can't say a thing and then be like, but please still like me. No, no, you either say
you are or saying people Patrick Kane like should beat the Rangers in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, that's it. Also, the revenge of it all. What is he getting revenge for? That he wanted too much money? So now he's taking it out on the Rangers?
I'm not here to slander Johnny today, but it was a question where I was like, not sure what's going on here, Johnny.
We just did 4 minutes on wrestling and you don't want to turn heel right now?
Johnny, I just want to say this. I hope you're okay, buddy. I just hope you're all right. That's all I ask. But they did beat the Red Wings on Friday, and it was just another... That was the Barclay-Goodrow game where Barclay-Goodrow somehow, some way, scores two goals and the fourth line completely dominates the entire game. The storylines going into this week, Greg, are pretty minimal. They really are. We have the Islanders, the Flyers, the Islanders, and the Senators remaining. This will be the last time, other than BSBOT later this week, probably on Thursday night. This will be the last time you hear from us before the playoffs. We'll likely record after the Senators game next Monday versus Senators on Monday. My apologies, my brain just exploded. But going into this, it's like, okay, Lobby Light is actually benching people appropriately. Roslovic gets benched. Jimmy Vesey slides up to the top line. Guess what? Mika and Kreider, still really effective, have been better again. Jacob Trouba, who we were all worried about, rightfully so. The coach and him said all the right things. And because of that, the last two games, Jacob Trouba has been eye test good and also analytically good, both. So that's been great. Zach Jones comes into the lineup yet again. Gustafson has been a little bit lackluster since the last couple weeks. I mean, he did get concussed. Understandable so. And guess what? Zach Jones, also awesome. The hardest part heading into the playoffs right now will be like, who's the hot hand that Laviolette has to ride? Because the rest of the lines are kind of set up. It's all ready to go. Like, is Roslovic on the top? Is VC on the top? Is Jones in? And I think that's really all the questions we have heading in, because the only other storyline right now is the Bruins are 3 points back with 4 games remaining, both teams. And the Rangers are trying to win the President's Trophy, or at least first in the East. And that's very clear.
Yes. The only thing of interest I really had, I'm still a little frustrated that Laviolette, while rotating his lineup, is not rotating out the big guns. That's something I wanted them to do. It's great that he's getting Rempe into these games. It's great that, you know, he's trying a game with VC on the top line. It's great that Roslovic, who's clearly having a bit of difficulty transitioning to playing with the Rangers, I don't think he's been bad. He just hasn't been as dynamic as you would have hoped. Give him a night off to recharge his batteries. It's still disappointing to me that Mika, Kreider, Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere have played every game. And frankly, Kako too, I'd put in that group, considering Kako had a very traumatic knee injury this year, that it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to buy him, you know, 60 minutes off in one of these games that just isn't as...
Well, because Trouba and Miller and all them got the game off last week.
Correct.
They all got the game off.
Sure, but, you know, and look, did wonders for Barclay Goodrow. Seems like a new man!
Honestly, wing Barclay Goodrow has been a revelation. I don't know how this... But this is what we've been talking about for years. It's so nice to get rewarded to have all these ideas. And, of course, we say so much shit on this podcast 52 weeks a year that some of it's going to hit eventually, right? That's just the law of averages.
Yeah.
But to say this coach or any coach that we're covering should use the end of the season, no matter what, to experiment with things that might work and then have Barclay Goodrow go to the wing and become
a star,
pretty much a new player.
A star.
the last week and a half has been, I said a revelation already, but that's really what it is. It's been totally different.
And it's great. And again, I don't want this to be like a true complaint, because he is doing it to some extent and it's working. I wish he was doing it to a larger extent, but I will accept my baby step and not say more of it. I did find myself once again getting a little frustrated on Sunday. While I didn't watch the game, I watched the online buildup to the game. I tried to do the thing where I took a nap before the Met game, and then it turns out that my nap before the Met game became Greg slept through the Met game.
Hey, when that happens.
They're 1-0 in the Greg's not awake era, so we're going to keep trying this. But once again, I saw people criticizing Roslovic, saying that we were told he'd be the guy that would unleash Mika Zibanejad.
No one said that.
Well, it's not that nobody said that, right? It's more that we said the only thing that could unleash Mika Zibanejad truly is Mika Zibanejad. And we hope Roslovic helps because he does X, Y, and Z. And he was cheap. And all these things are good for the Rangers. That was the general takeaway. But once again, it got to a point where Roslovic comes out of the lineup and everyone's angry at Roslovic for not doing the thing that Mika needs to do himself, because Mika has incredible PR karma, I think, with the fan base, where he can't really do wrong. And honestly, Ryan, I think he's played well since the trade deadline. It's not even that big of a complaint. I thought Roslovic has played well since the trade deadline. But I just wanted to the people, and I know some of you listen to this here podcast, that were quick to point out what Jack Roslovic wasn't doing on the top line. You got to be questioning the man in the middle, not the man on the right. Just going to remind you of that. Because I just have this feeling, Ryan, that the Rangers are going to lose a playoff game that we expect them to win. And a big reason why they lose that playoff game will probably be the performance of three guys numbered 20, 93, and 96. And that's just a feeling I have, where either 20 or 96 is going to eat a lot of criticism for that game, all because nobody wants to slander Mika Zibanejad for reasons. I'm calling that shot early on what hopefully is a Stanley Cup run for the New York Rangers, but I have a feeling that we're going to have an OT after one of those games, and I come on here, and I'm going to be mean to Mika Zibanejad, and I think people are going to be upset at me for that. So this week,
just heads up, you did say 96. His number is 93. So I just wanted to throw
I said 20, 93, and 96. Notice how I said three numbers because there are three people on that line. Would you also like me to say 23 and 55 since Fox and Lindgren will likely play with them too?
I literally can't understand numbers.
Okay. Yeah. I you were coming at me being like, I'm going to get Greg so good.
I heard you rubbing your hands. I wasn't rubbing. I was making sure I knew the number. So it's like, is that correct? I heard him say it. Am I crazy?
No, I just, again, guys, just for the 100th time, the person who holds the keys to whether Mika Zibanejad is back or not is Mika Zibanejad. So for everyone that was upset that Roslovic came out, and now the people that are upset that VC's going back down, once again, Laviolette, he has the option.
He's like, oh, Roslovic's not doing well tonight. You know what I could do? Jimmy VC, get up there, buddy. Like,
and Ryan, frankly, even better than him having the option, he has a non-Kako option, which means Kapo still gets to just fucking go to lunch on other team third lines. Because that was my biggest fear. When I saw Roslovic coming out of the lineup, I was like, oh, fuck. They're going to move Kako up, and the Rangers are suddenly going to lose this huge advantage that they have in these games by keeping Kapo Kako on the third line. And Laviolette, to my surprise, said, nope, fuck that. VC's going up. We're just going to plug and play, and we're going to keep this clear advantage that I have down here for 12 minutes a night, because I want to keep that advantage and get my first line working. And these are just thoughts Gerard Gallant has never thought. It's never popped into his head. He didn't see it possible.
And not only that, Laviolette has really kind of given the keys to Kako on power play too. He's taken Miller off it for some training and just put Kako on there to see what that looks like. The advantage that they have on that third line is unbelievable. I think Wenberg has taken a total of like 11 shots on that line with Kapo Kako total. So everything just goes through Kako, but all the setup goes through Wenberg. It's working out really, really well. Everything's just clicking. There's no I know it's only 13 to 14 minutes a night, but those are huge advantage numbers for that line. It's perfect. And also, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the Alexi Lafreniere play where he goes through like three guys, goes behind the back, hits Kako, and Kako almost scores and goes off a blocker? Because Alexi Lafreniere has been, I mean, literally otherworldly the last couple weeks.
He's been playing with his dick out.
There's the only way to describe it is that.
Yeah, and respectfully. And consensually, that we should also say consensually. That's right.
We asked him, "Would you do this?" He said, "Yes, I'm the number one overall pick." And then from there, we all agreed that he's playing very well.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Oh yeah, that's why we're here.
Can I tell you that some guy tried to play the naked man on Gina the other day?
Naked man? What's that?
Do you not remember How I Met Your Mother?
I didn't really. I watched a couple seasons, but I don't really remember it too.
Barney had this big theory that if you get invited back to a woman's apartment, this is also very late 2000s.
Barney, by the way, incredibly cancelable character.
Incredibly cancelable, especially for his naked man take, which is if you get inside a woman's apartment, just get naked, they won't be able to say no.
That was a take on the show.
That was a take on the show, which a man in real life tried to use this past weekend. It's the hardest I've laughed in a very long time.
Not good. I would say hashtag bad.
terrible.
Two of my closest relatives, my mother and my wife, who's not my relative, she's my wife, both work in healthcare.
You want to back up. So you didn't hear me say 93, but you were able to hear yourself call your wife a relative.
Yes, I was. Okay. And I was setting this up because they both work in healthcare.
Did you think 23andMe was a dating app?
I did not. That's how I found my millionaire family that hates me. Point of that story is they both work in healthcare, and the sexual harassment stuff I hear from both of them is insane.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's like they said what to you today? Excuse me?
No. We live in hellscape. Was really hoping the sun would blow up when it was behind the moon
still
today.
Still here, unfortunately.
Sadly. It did get brighter outside, which means I'm starting to think we missed it.
The sun, we're back.
Oh, jeez. Well, it's almost like I could have closed my... Everyone's being like, wow, look how dark it is at 3:19 p.m. And I was like, yeah, it's like that in December, too, and all of us hate it. But if it's like that for one day in April, we buy fucking glasses? I don't know. It's all a conspiracy. I haven't figured out what the conspiracy here is yet, but know that it is one. Anyway, the New York Rangers. They won a couple hockey games.
They're so good.
They're pretty good. What were we talking about?
I think I want to pivot to this to the end before we get to the interview, Jesse.
Alexi Lafreniere took his dick out consensually. Yes, how we got there. I remember. No, it's some of the best hockey we've seen played in a non-Panarin, non-Zibanejad category, non-Fox. This run of Lafreniere, I would say we've only seen runs better since we started this podcast by Fox, Panarin, and Zibanejad, independent of each other. But each of those players have gone on runs. Because even Kreider's unexpected out-of-nowhere 50-goal season, I wouldn't have said it was just like the power play was on such a run that Kreider was on a run. But this is this type of playmaking while also finishing, we've probably only seen three other times.
I think so. The whole line of Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere is... I think it's appropriate for us to say it's the best line we've seen while doing this podcast.
Ooh, how
9 years? Yep.
Kreider, Zibanejad, Buchnevich is the contender.
That's the only contender. It's better.
And we didn't get a lot of time with KZB because would you put Gerard Gallant in terms of the coaches we've talked about?
I have.
Is he before? So Alain Vigneault's before him.
I like David Quinn more than Gerard Gallant, like substantially.
I think I do too.
I know this is, if the beat writers were on here, especially Rick or some other guys, would be like, hey, the Raiders had two of their best seasons under Gerard Gallant in history. Mm-hmm. I think he's the winningest coach in New York Ranger history by win percentage because of the two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I prefer David Quinn. David Quinn has a minus 113 goal differential in San Jose this year. I prefer him. Over Gerard Gallant.
David Quinn entertains me. Like, I was entertained every step of the way.
I was a Quinn defender. Look, he's not a great coach, but at least he coached. I don't know, man. Like, I know he micromanaged, and I know he did bad things to Kako's game and performance and the other players as well, but there were good things, too. He created the power play, Adam Fox, etc. Whatever you want to say. I think about Gerard Gallant all the time, and he makes me so angry. He is my Chase Utley. He is my what if.
He's not Chase Utley.
He's not Chase Utley, but it is sort of a... I think he's the person I dislike most in sports.
Really?
For me. Yes.
You're not a certain shortstop that's not allowed to play shortstop for you anymore?
Look, that's different. That guy is a piece of shit. Like, as a human, I'm not sure I hate Gerard Gallant. I don't. I sports hate Gerard Gallant.
Your sports hate Gerard. Well, okay, so then he's definitely on a different level from Chase Utley, who I hate.
You're right. Exactly. I'm sure Gerard Gallant is a perfectly fine guy. Seems nice, etc.
I don't know. He's French-Canadian, so you know he's just a tool bag.
Right, I don't know that about him. What I do know about the guy with the helicopter in the minors, that makes me hate him. The Gerard Gallant, sports-wise, I'm not sure because I don't have respect for him either. There are people I hate
You know how it's always funnier when you say you don't respect, you could say you hate
someone. I don't
someone,
respect him.
But when you say you don't respect him, it somehow sounds meaner.
I know, because Pep Guardiola is amazing, and I hate him, but I respect him in Man City. And at least they cheat and they get away with it. Whatever. He's fucking awesome. And I can't deny he's a great coach and influential over the entire league. Great, awesome, rival, whatever. Gerard Gallant, no respect. Screw this guy, man. He like threw three franchises after trying to bring him to the cup. He just doesn't coach, and he ruined development of two top picks and just didn't put Trocheck Panarin together. Couldn't play Lafreniere on the right line, right wing. It's amazing how much I hate that guy. Amazing.
Once again, though, devil's advocate for you here. Had he properly used Alexis Lafreniere, Rangers might not have been able to afford him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all a big conspiracy.
Yeah, just saying. I'm just saying.
Let's get to our interview with Jesse. It's a good one. Talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins and their somehow renaissance. Don't understand.
Speaking of people I don't respect, respect the shit out of Jesse. Don't respect the shit out of Penguin fans.
That's absolute fact. I do not want to deal with them again. So let's go over to Jesse. We'll come back with 5-star questions after that. Transition. Hey, yo, I'm here to tell you about our official ticket sponsor all season long for the New York Rangers. It's right, it's TickPick. You can use it for anything, though, because I used it last night to go to WrestleMania. Bought the tickets on TickPick, was super easy. Sorted by the best deal, compared it to other websites. Turned out it was cheaper on TickPick. The price I saw was the price I got, because there's no fees. That's what TickPick does. And what I really liked about using the app is that over the next couple months, it would keep reminding me like, oh, WrestleMania prices have gone up and down. So if you want to track ticket prices for an event you're looking to go to, start tracking it on TickPick. It's super helpful. They even give you trends when things are most cheap to buy, etc. It's awesome to use. And if you want to use it, you can use promo code BLUESHIRTS15. And at checkout, you get $15 off for any order over $99. Can't beat that. Super easy. Ranger playoffs right around the corner. So, want to get tickets? Use TickPick. Use BlueShirts15 on checkout. Get $15 off, and we'll see you at the game.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, we're back with our first guest today. We have our dear friend Jesse Marshall, who covers the Pittsburgh Penguins for a myriad of hockey places. I think that's correct, Jesse. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, awesome. Let's start here. I'm kind of pissed off to be speaking with you. I thought we were done with you. It's not that I don't like you. I love you as a person. I just thought you guys were dead. Why aren't you dead? Let's start there.
Well, the number one reason is because everybody else doesn't want to get into the playoffs. That's really what this comes down to, is that like Washington, Philadelphia, a lot of these teams, Detroit, have not done their job. They've been very poor. And that's kind of coincided with the Penguins, I think, getting more of a superhuman lift out of their goaltending position and their captain, where Sidney Crosby is sort of like in that he's got those eyes. You know what I mean? Like
those googly,
yeah, he's got them googly eyes right now.
I do. I think I tweeted this last week. It was like, why can't Sidney Crosby just fuck off? Like, last time, I'm not going to deal with this. And it does seem like, and look, the Rangers' options are pretty much three different options at this point. They can either, Detroit can win out, and they face Patrick Kane in the first round. Sidney Crosby does his thing. They face Sidney Crosby in the first round, or the Bruins win, and they face the Tampa Bay Lightning. So all that kind of sucks for us as fans, but I do think it's going to end up being the Pittsburgh Penguins, and we're just going to be back at it again.
Yeah, the old dance, right? Never.
We did this too often.
Yeah, we do, every spring, really. Here's another thing. Like, I sometimes question, you know, and again, this is like an environmental discussion, right? Everyone else is stinking. But the Penguins aren't stinking. Like, that's another thing. They have been decidedly decent in this run of games. I keep mentioning the goalie. Like, Alex Nedeljkovic has been a revelation for them really all year. He's been good all year long. But Tristan Jarry is kind of like reverted into his usual self, I guess we'll say, over the course of the last couple weeks. He's also been hurt. That's not a story we haven't heard before either. But Ned's taken that net over. He's getting a start again tonight, a big win against Toronto. I thought to myself that they haven't looked that impressive. But lo and behold, like I looked before I came on the show with you, I wanted to get a sense of what their expected goal share was over the last 3-4 weeks. It's sixth in the league. So it's actually pretty good. Like, it's a lot better than I thought. It's crazy because Jake Guentzel left, right? And it's not, you know, Michael Bunting is not Jake Guentzel, but Michael Bunting also seems to have been the exact medicine the Penguins have needed in the top six. I mean, going to the front of the net, making things happen in screens, winning puck battles. He's been perfect for this team. So you kind of offset that loss a little bit, right? Like, somewhat. Crosby's been so dominant that he hasn't missed Guentzel, I don't think, at all. It's really helped Evgeny Malkin out, who's had like a really rough year and has been playing with AHL quality line mates for a large portion of the season. He now has like this verified 20 goal scorer on his wing, who goes to the areas Malkin likes to go to, and they've had a great partnership. So I temper the expectation, right? I don't think anybody in Pittsburgh considers this team to be a cup favorite. However, I do think everybody in Pittsburgh considers this team to be someone who could go into the first round and accidentally win. They've just gotten hot at the right time. And it's when Sidney Crosby gets in this mode. Like, I watched Sidney Crosby this weekend put a stick between his legs intentionally. And this is all like in the blink of an eye, right? A shot is intentionally set wide for Crosby. He doesn't have the best angle on it. So he intentionally puts his leg in one motion between his stick, between his legs, bends the blade outward to act as a ramp for the puck and almost brings it off the pipe. And I saw that happen. I said, this is like, what are we doing? Like, how is this possible? You know, this perhaps to me is the most impressive thing he's ever done. And I said on Twitter today, I hope they get in just so I could watch more of this. Like, I don't want to stop seeing Sidney Crosby play like this. Like, it's a night, every single night is something stupid. It's just that you don't, no human should be able to do some of the things that he's been doing over the course of the last couple of weeks.
That's nice that you feel that way. I strongly fucking disagree. But I just want to walk through what exactly has happened since trade deadline week, where you and I were trading messages probably on the hour, every hour. The Rangers come to the Penguins. They ask about Jake Guentzel. The Penguins, rightfully and correctly, ask for the moon. Chris Drury says, no, thank you. And the Penguins then turn around and trade Guentzel to the Rangers' chief rival for the Metropolitan Crown this year, the Carolina Hurricanes. That was fuck you number one. Now, fuck you number two is everything the Penguins have decided to do since then, which is essentially not lose hockey games. That's a big fuck you number two. Then fuck you number three is the Penguins simultaneously convincing the Flyers, Islanders, Capitals, and Red Wings to also play like shit for the most part.
Hey, no, not the Islanders, man. The Islanders are on a heater right now. It's
yeah,
really
I'm not here to. I'm not here to talk about the Islanders. I'm not here to talk about the Islanders. But let's play this game out, Jesse. I don't think there's a scenario in which you, a Penguin beat writer and general fan of the team, would go back and undo the Jake Guentzel trade. But is there a part of you that would? Or is this, as you put it, a cosmic outcome to what was a very good trade for the Penguins? Though at the time, it didn't seem like the world's greatest trade.
It's tough for me to answer that question. It's a good one, Greg. Like I can't discount, again, the Nedeljkovic effect, right? It just so happened that he took the net over about the time Guentzel left, right? So that those two things kind of go hand in hand. So that's a big part of this. Michael Bunting, like I got to go back to this. He, again, has been a revelation for the second line to the point that Malkin now looks more like himself. Also, you know, they made some slight moves in bringing up some youth, right? Like we saw Sam Polan come up from Wilkes-Barre. Jack St. Ivany is a name, if you're going to play the Penguins in the first round, I'd get familiar with. He's basically their number 6D right now. And when you compare him to Ryan Graves, he is like a tulip compared to just a just disgusting weed growing in your garden. That's the other piece. Like Graves got hurt. St. Ivany came in, and immediately this team got better at preventing scoring chances across the board. I hate to like pile on here, but like Ryan Graves has been that bad this year that having him not in the lineup has benefited this team in like a very tangible way. So you can't sit here and say like they traded a 40 goal scorer and that was good. No, I don't think it was. I don't think the way that the ecosystem was kind of working for the Penguins is that losing Guentzel didn't make a huge difference because Crosby has been that dude for all year, right? And you could put a garbage can up there and he'd bank 25 off the garbage can. So not disrespecting Jake Guentzel, who's been really good for Carolina, but you get what I'm saying. Like there's five or six other things that have happened. The power play is not back to normal by any, it still stinks, but it's scoring sometimes. Like once in every three games is better than never, right? So it's just been lightning has struck, I think, at the right time for them. And here's the other thing. Like if you look at expected goal metrics, the Penguins have been a top 10 team all season. They just have had absolutely 32nd ranked finishing, really 32nd ranked finishing, and inconsistent wild goaltending at times. So the goaltending stabilizes, they start to get some finishing. Oh, wow, look at this. You know, who's this? Look, the results kind of, I think, line up with what the data has said all year. So, look, still wildly inconsistent defensively. They play so much offense from the blue line that sometimes, like, they only have one defenseman on the ice, and they're playing this weird four forward hybrid system. And you don't necessarily feel great again because of how, you know, crazy their special teams are. But it changed what they really needed was more than one line. Greg, that was it. They only had one line. And by calling up some youth, they helped the bottom six. They get Bunting for the second line. It's like, okay, you know, I know you traded away a 40 goal score, but the end result when combined with all this other stuff has made them a better team.
Let's get to this. Looking at your schedule, you're officially in the playoffs as of now. This is how I look at it. You have five games remaining as the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm saying you, Jesse, as your part
to,
of the team.
To be fair, Ryan, the Penguins not in the playoffs as of right now.
That's correct. Yeah, as of yesterday. Yes.
What I'm saying is your games moving forward as of today of recording as we're being eclipsed are all playoff games because you're playing the Maple Leafs, which doesn't have playoff standing.
Oh, yes, I see
them.
What you're saying. Yes, yep. They're all playoff games. Yes, yes.
Yes, they are. You play the Red Wings, you play the Bruins, the Predators, and the Islanders. The Red Wings and the Islander games are really four-point games,
yep.
Both of them. And in that situation, so you control your own destiny. Somehow the schedule, of which is terrible, by the way, and you, the Penguins and Islanders play a game 2 days after the Rangers play their final game, which makes absolutely no sense. You guys will have control of your own destiny. I think you have the hardest schedule of all remaining teams.
Correct. Yes.
That is very difficult. What is the expectation in Pittsburgh moving into like, hey, at least we're getting some playoff action. This isn't an end of the season kind of just lay down and die situation.
Yeah, I think like today's morning skate sort of set the temperament. You know, when Nedeljkovic was the first goalie off, everybody kind of said like, oh, crap, Sullivan's going to go for it. You know, and the reason that was important is because if you go back to like the Matt Murray era of Pittsburgh, even when Marc-Andre Fleury was playing well, when Murray was available, he went in, right? And you can fast forward and do the same thing with Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith. Casey DeSmith may have been playing better. Tristan Jarry was the guy. So I think this kind of signals that Jarry is no longer the guy. Like, I don't think they view him like that. I think when Nedeljkovic, who's started like, what, 8 games in a row now, I think, or 6 or 7, something like that, somewhere between 6 and 8. When he came off first today, everybody said, okay, look, they kind of considered the Maple Leafs game to be a wash. It's not a divisional game, right? It's not a 4-point game. Toronto's pretty good, even though their record over the last 10 is like, meh. Auston Matthews is going to score like 100 goals this year. They're a good team. You kind of got the sense that would be the one they give to Jari, right? Or even like Joel Blomqvist, who got called up from Wilkes-Barre, like maybe he gets that one. And then you give Ned the night off and you give him the chance to take a breath because he hasn't really played like this in this condensed of a form in a long time. When he was the first guy off today, I think that the resonance around the group was like, yep, okay, they want to win against Toronto tonight, and they're going to go out every single game for the rest of the year with their best foot forward and try to get as many points as they possibly can. It's quite, I don't think I've ever seen this before, but if you, I'd have to go back and look. I don't even know how I'm going to do it, but when the Gensel trade was made, the Penguins lost by 6 goals to the Capitals that night. And at that moment in time, their chance percent of making the playoffs was 1.9, according to moneypuck.com. Today,
seems low.
Yeah, today that number sits at almost 39%. So they have flipped this on its head. And with every night, even on their off nights, that number has been going up because of their performance, right? They put the pressure on the teams around them. So I think if they get points against Toronto tonight, even 1 point against Toronto tonight, that's a huge deal. And now nobody expected them to pick up points against Tampa, and they came out in the first period and just laid it on them. So this is a team that I think, like, look, frankly, guys, they didn't look like they cared much a month and a half, 2 months ago. They looked pretty disheveled. The effort level wasn't there. They got a lot of gas in the tank. Like, they found themselves in this situation almost by accident. And Sidney Crosby looks to me like a guy who could do this for, you know, again, another 2-3 months. Malkin's parents are in town, which has the supernatural effect on him. He scored 2 this weekend and they were crying in the stands. Was this emotional thing. So there's like this sense now around the group of like, we're going to do this again. Like, we got to get back in. And
I hate this so much, Jesse. I'm so sorry. Like, I hate this.
Yeah.
The Rangers are having maybe their most magical season in history. They might break their points total record. They have 4 games, 2 of them against the Islanders. By the way, you're welcome. We're going to beat the hell out of them. And we're heading into the playoffs, full force, Jacob Trouba train right into each other yet again.
Yeah.
And this is, let's be honest, we've had some hell of a series over the years. We've had 2 amazing comebacks versus you, but you've also had a couple series where you just buried us alive.
Yeah, the spicy pork OT game, right? Like, that was always a good one.
There's so many like legendary games that I just am so, it's not what I wanted to do. I'd rather go to Detroit and beat them in 5 games or play the Islanders and bury them in 4. Or never to play Tampa Bay Lightning ever again. But to actually have to see Sidney Crosby one more time when he's doing the whole Tom Brady thing is one of the most annoying things I could ever think of as a sports fan, when you're having maybe one of, like I said, the most magical seasons in the history of your franchise.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Penguins have not. I mean, they've had a historically terrible power play that for the most of the year has been dead last in the league and has had like a shooting percentage of like 4%. Which is hilarious. You know, they haven't had a starting goalie for most of the year. They've fluttered back and forth between these two guys, and neither one of them put up a performance that made you say like, oh man, wow, they're going to take it over, until, you know, 2 weeks ago. And most people, I think, would have told you again at the trade deadline, Mike Sullivan was dead, was gone. It was a dead duck, you know, a lame duck coach. There's no chance he was coming back. And now all of a sudden, like, you know, the old recipes, you know, I don't want to say working again. I do think, guys, that discernibly, based on the environment around them, they've toned it back a little bit. They're not playing as fire wagon of a brand as hockey as they were earlier in the year. They were just getting eaten alive. Like, Letang, Carlson, great individual talents that were doing amazing things every night. But like, the give and take, like, you know, they were kind of laying their partners out to the massacre there. So I think it's just, you know, the vibe, I think, has changed a little bit, and they've sacrificed a little bit of that gung-ho-edness to live to fight another day. Well, I still think there's just gross holes in this team. Their over reliance on Jeff Carter is a nightmare. He's great in the faceoff circle, but what good is winning the faceoff if you're just completely useless afterwards? You know, that's still a struggle, right? I think they still have a tendency to not favor their youth. You know, like a Valtteri Puustinen has been an unbelievable addition for their bottom six coming up from Wilkes-Barre, but it's like, you know, he's on a short leash. He goes out and tries to do a couple, you know, things that he's really talented at and can do in a given shift. And if it doesn't work out, you know, he kind of gets stapled to the bench. So this is not a perfect team, right? But I think that they've become all of a sudden a tough out, right? So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, the wheels could fall off this thing. You know, they haven't done this long enough to convince anyone yet. Let's put it that way. You know, if we're looking at sample size, they have like 3 good weeks of season in front of them. And then like the rest of it's been kind of bad. So,
yeah, but like as an outside voice, we interviewed someone, Diana, that's not her name. I'm so sorry. Let me get her actual name. What was her name last week from the great reporter, Gregory? I'm so sorry.
Deandra Liu.
Thank you. I'm a terrible, terrible host and a bad friend. Deandra Liu came on our show. Deandra Liu came on our show and she was like, you know, the expectations in Tampa Bay, we were like, stop it right there. Everybody knew that they were making the playoffs. Everyone, every New York Ranger fan knew that they were going to be there. They'd be there at the end and they'd fight through it. I don't know if I felt that way about Pittsburgh this year, but I feel that way about them exactly right now. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. And I think like even Penguins fans sort of agreed with you in that sentiment. Some of them still do. Right. I think to be quite frank, this team like had absolutely no sign. I went on our local fan station here in Pittsburgh after the Gensel trade. And again, they lost by like 6 goals to the Caps. They got destroyed by Ottawa. It was just a nightmare. And I said, there are like 5 telltale signs that a team has given up on its season and coach. And the Penguins are exhibiting 8 of those 5 signs. Like they're all 5 of the fine signs. And then plus 3 new ones nobody even knew existed yet. To the point that like it was just Sidney Crosby. That was it. It was just him. And so the games were still fun because even if they were going to lose 5-2, Crosby was going to get 2 goals and he was going to do something crazy. But then again, like all these other elements, the goaltending especially started to fall into place. And the youth, that injection of youth, you know, it's so similar to, I think back to like how they got to where they are and how they won those cups is they, you know, Brian Russ and those guys coming up from Wilkes-Barre and making contributions. And it's kind of like in that same vibe right now, you know? So they've gotten, you know, they traded Jake Guentzel and brought in Michael Bunting, who, you know, didn't make them any younger, but they got younger by proxy of moving in that direction with both their defensive unit, and their bottom six. So it's just I find it difficult to truly judge the trajectory of the team because they're just not even the same team they were 2 months ago. And I, and, you know, in a better way. Right. So who knows? I mean, you know, we're going to learn a lot tonight. You know, I think we're going to learn an absolute lot tonight. This team has put, you know, there's been a lot of big minutes on the star players here down the stretch. And they have shown no signs of slowing down. If they come out tonight and put up a performance against Tampa, some of these other teams on the bubble that haven't been playing as well, I would definitely be concerned about those head-to-heads because the Penguins are, you know, it's clicking right now.
Let's play America's favorite game that we play every time you come on this podcast, Jesse. It's called, But What About Mike Sullivan? Because yeah. You mentioned his name. This was a guy who... I think the last time you were on here, you were saying, look, he's been involved in the entire process by Kyle Dubas. Don't think he's going anywhere. Dubas is going out of his way to make him seem like he is part of the long-term vision. Then you get to the halfway point in this year, and it seems like Mike Sullivan was already walked. He had already walked the plank and maybe sunk 5 feet below the sea level at that point. Devils fans were getting super excited, being like, this is great. The Penguins are going to fire Mike Sullivan. We're going to hire him. Life's going to be good. Flash forward to today. Jesse, is there any scenario in which Mike Sullivan is not the Penguins coach come opening night 2024?
No, I don't think so. You know, a couple weeks ago, even before things changed and that playoff percent was, you know, like 1.9 or whatever, I think everybody thought that was it. You know, even though the Dubas rhetoric was no, Mike Sullivan's important. We can't replace him. He's coming back. Objectively speaking, Dubas had swung at the fences, right? Replaces the whole bottom six, goes out and gets Erik Karlsson, you know, extends Tristan Jarry. Like this was it, right? So I guess for me personally, I couldn't have foreseen a situation where they make all of those swings and then don't make it and he comes back, right? Especially because it seemed like the message just was there was a disconnect, right? There was just a disconnect. It didn't seem like whatever was being delivered from the staff was being received. And then that's not even cracking open the shell of saying like, look, well, hey, Todd Reardon's still here. And the Penguins power play, which he is in charge of, has been in 32nd in the league all season long. Like, and not just 32nd, atrociously bad. We're talking really long stretches of time without a power play goal. featuring at a power play that has Erik Karlsson, Chris Letang, Evgeny Malkin, and Sidney Crosby. Like, it's inexcusable. It's criminal. So I thought to myself, like, if, you know, that to me was what was going to sink the ship, was that Mike Sullivan had seemingly married himself to Todd Reardon in this power play. If they just had an average power play, I wrote a piece about this a couple weeks ago, they'd have plus six standings points right now. If their power play was league average, plus six standing points, how different does the playoff situation look right now if the Penguins have – we're not talking about this, right? You're talking about the Penguins playing someone else in the first round probably.
Hurricanes,
so,
yep.
Yeah, so, it's that bad. I thought that once that wagon was sort of hitched, that was it. You know, the writing was on the wall, and it didn't seem to matter to me what Dubas's rhetoric was. You know, he wasn't going to turn on his own, on the guy in the middle of the year, right? I did get the sense, though, that, you know, that could have been it. But I think he's done enough that the conversation has gotten interesting, right? They're almost basically a coin flip as to whether or not they get in. I think that might, you know, they gave him such a gross amount of input in how this team was going to be orchestrated. I think it would be difficult to pivot that and find a new philosophy with someone else's players. I would say the odds of him not being employed by the Penguins at the start of next year would be like 35-30% today. That number will decidedly go down if they qualify.
I was going to go to Kyle Dubas, but I don't really know what there is to say right now that's different from maybe the trade deadline. But instead, I want to go to just the Metro as a whole. One thing I keep thinking about, and this isn't just a shot at Devils fans, but I think you as Pittsburgh Penguin fans and people in that area likely thought that there was a chance that you guys could miss the playoffs this year. It wasn't likely. It was a chance. You guys still had the aging core, but it was still like, what is this team going to look like? Whereas Devils fans and most analytical darlings have had them penciled in as not only the best team in the Metro, but likely the best team in the East outside of Boston, and maybe even more so than them. They are going to miss the playoffs by a wide margin. And the playoffs, like you just said, it's not just the Pittsburgh Penguins performing, it's everyone else being an abject disaster. Is this a big enough story for you, or am I trying to pile on?
By story, you mean just the situation with the Devils?
Yeah, like,
yeah,
hey,
no, that's pretty big.
They
yeah.
were supposed to be the team. They were a cup favorite, probably one of the top four. They have the young up and coming. They beat the Rangers last year. They have Jack Hughes. They have all these players. They made all these trades. This is awesome. They're a lock for the playoffs. They fired their coach. Things have got, look, Jack Hughes got hurt. I understand, but there's many more players on that team than Jack Hughes. And it's been an abject disaster for them all year. And it just feels like, it's kind of like, ho-hum, yeah, okay, the Devils aren't in it. It's like, if the Rangers were like this, it would be a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, injuries are a big thing, but goaltending is really even bigger, right? That is just massive. And they have not had it at all this season. Some other guys that had really good years last year, like John Marino, he has completely fallen in under expectations. You know, I don't know if he's banged up. I'm not going to speculate on that, right? But that he was Ryan Graves' partner when Ryan Graves came to Pittsburgh, so maybe that's it, right? I think Lindy Ruff was somebody they hung around with for way too long. I think the writing may have been on the wall there that was no longer a perfect marriage, and they got all they were going to get out of that. You know, it didn't, I think they waited a while. Right. And it's tough. You don't want to sacrifice a coach at the behest of goaltending, but I think it's also fair to ask if like the Devils breakout or their neutral zone structure was like a strength for how that team was orchestrated, even without Hughes, right? Like even without him, you still have speed up and throughout that lineup. And I felt like as things got worse for the Devils, their system got more regressive and regressive defensively. Whereas like in Lindy Ruff's 90s hockey mind, like that was the fix to the problem, right? It wasn't to open it up and let your horses run wild. It was to regress and to shell up and try to protect the lack of goaltending you had. Well, I don't think that worked, right? I think they started to ask their dog to meow a little bit in terms of how they were playing versus what their roster composition was. So yeah, no, it's a huge story to me. I mean, that team at the start of the year was, you know, money line wise in the odds to, you know, top five to be in a cup contender discussion. So it's, I think, definitely an abject failure on their part to identify and sign a goaltender that could be 100% relied on. And look, like goaltending, you know, we always say it's like voodoo, right? And it's mysterious and we don't always have the answers to these questions. And it can be like the flip of a switch sometime. And that's true. The Penguins this year are a really good example of that. But They clearly weren't built to survive some of the blows they got dealt. And at the end of the day, right, that's what it comes down to. Whereas the Penguins, I think, are still in this position despite all of their warts. They found a way somehow to tread water even through their worst periods enough that they accumulated enough points to still be in the conversation today as everyone else falters a bit.
All right, Jesse, let's play the game. You are currently the number 9 team in the Eastern Conference. You are tied on points and record with the Washington Capitals. You are tied on points but with a game in hand on the Philadelphia Flyers. You're 2 points behind the Islanders. You're 1 point behind the Red Wings. Has this run since the trade deadline been enough for where the season expectations were and for what this season has been for Penguin fans for it to be not ruled a bad season? Or do you have to make the playoffs?
I think recency bias, Greg, will put most people in a position of comfort if they don't qualify and they miss by like a point. I think there'll be a bittersweet taste by how many third period leads they blew and how bad that power play was and like some of the hurdles that they've just been faced with all year long. I mean, it's just crazy. They, you know, again, like they've blown a multi-goal third period leads more times than I have fingers on my hands, and I have never been in an accident and lost any of my fingers. So you do the math on that one. I think most people would look at the situation like, oh man, they almost got in. That was a lot of fun. Can't wait for next season. You know, and that sort of that recency bias, I think from a fan perspective anyway, I don't know how management will treat it, but I think from a fan's perspective, it might help soften a little bit of the blow of them not getting in is like, this is the most fun people have had all year. And if you're going to have fun, I guess the end is a good time to do it. So, you know, but from a judgment perspective, I think they'll probably be a little bit cloudy as we end here.
Final question for me, Jesse. We didn't really talk Rangers much, and that's okay. But when we were talking Tampa Bay last week, Tampa Bay's the team that scares me the most. And I think Greg and I are pretty much on record that teams we're not scared of include Carolina and also the Washington Capitals. We just own them. That's just like, it's always been that way, no matter what. Are the Rangers a team that scare Pittsburgh at all? Like, I don't think they are, but they're having a great year. They've had some hell of a series in the past, but I just think it's, do they think it's very winnable? Or is it sort of like, that's a boogeyman team as well?
I don't know a lot of people, Ryan, who would go into that series and list the Penguins as a favorite.
That's not what I'm asking, just so you know. Like, no, there's a feeling, there's a gut instinct.
Yeah, no, I think the gut instinct is that the Rangers are a better team and would probably win.
All right, I'd love to hear that.
That's just my honest opinion. I mean, that's with the knowledge of, like, the city of Pittsburgh collectively is, or, like, they've gone through the ordeal of watching a lot of really just awful hockey this year, right? So I think, like, again, like, I don't think this has gone on long enough for people to be fooled, right? The Rangers have good goaltending. They I don't think over the course of the last 30 days have been their usual selves with regards to how well they can control a hockey game, like from a scoring chance and shot
perspective. It's been insane. They just win every game. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So no matter there's a great market for that, right? Teams that win every game. That's important. So like,
yeah, they just keep doing it. So, not sure how they keep doing it, but they just keep doing it.
Yeah. And that impression is not lost on Pittsburgh. So, I think there would be like a trepidated level of excitement just in the knowledge that like Sidney Crosby's, you know, liable to do something otherworldly. That always keeps people right on the edge of their seat. Right. But I don't think people would feel great about that series. I don't think they'd feel great about Carolina either, but I think the Gensel narrative would take over so much that people would like black out a little bit. I don't know, frankly, guys, I don't know that there's a team I think anyone really feels good about in terms of like who they end up playing.
I think you guys could beat the Canes. I hate all this. Canes are 25% cup favorites, like 25% chance to win the cup. Like, what are you guys like? I know I love analytics, don't get me wrong, but it just makes no goddamn sense to me.
Well, I mean, they just beat Carolina for the first time in like a decade last week. So it's not like that's not a good, you know, traditionally speaking, those games have been like Carolina takes Pittsburgh out behind the shed and beats them over the head. I don't get why
the Rangers just own Carolina, and they do. They own them.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't work. Whatever we need to borrow, whatever it is, because you know, again, like it was. That's why it was uncanny, you know, that they hung around like they did in the last game. So, yeah, I don't know. I think again, most people would have like an abject level of terror about the potential Rangers game. But even like you go back to the last game we played, that 5-2 game, like there was a lot of like, first of all, I think the Rangers had a lot of like self-induced injury in that game as far as like making mistakes that were uncharacteristic of themselves. I thought that the decisions they made and who they were going to put on the Crosby line was questionable at best. I don't know that that Trouba pairing is equipped to deal with what that line is doing right now.
It wasn't at the time. It might not be in the future, but yes,
I think that's good. I think it's a great matchup for the Malkin line. I think they make life extremely hard on the Malkin line just based on where the Malkin line lies to live, right? Like they like to live in the slot and in front of the net.
Fox has to be playing against Crosby.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That's how it has to happen.
So I didn't think that anyone walked away from that game saying like, yeah, 5-2, that's 100% reflective of how the game went. I feel like most people walked away like, we're kind of on a stole two out of that one, right? Like, so... I'm not looking forward to it. I just, you know, these Rangers series are bad for my health.
Yeah. Final question for me, Jesse. If Jacob Trouba were to get on an airplane right now, fly to the Middle East, broker a ceasefire between Israel and Gaza, the first reaction from a Pittsburgh Penguins sports fan would be, what took him so long? And not thank God that he did. So my question,
I'm going to correct you. The first reaction would be, who did he elbow in the temple to get
There it is.
Nice.
So I one has to ask, Jesse, what will Jacob Trouba do this time to upset a Penguin fan?
You know, it could be funny is that it could be Matt Rempe that does it this time, right? Like that could be a whole new narrative, right?
But
like,
come on. We both know he learned it from Trouba. It all goes back to the root.
He'll touch Sidney Crosby.
Touch him.
That'll be it. I mean, the point, like Pittsburgh's like level of dislike for Trouba is at the point where Trouba could give him a casual glance in a non-competitive situation, like at the mall, and people are like, "Did you see that? The league doesn't do anything about this guy." it won't take much, man. It'll be, I'm sure, within the first 5 minutes of game one, we'd probably get the answer to that question.
Amazing. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us yet again. Look, I think we're going to do you a favor against the Islanders. So you might end up with that third slot. Welcome to the Hurricane. So it's either going to, I think you guys are making it. So that's where I'm sticking my money. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. What it really comes down to now is even if they pick up these points and these head to heads with like they have the Red Wings, they have the Islanders, they got Boston, Toronto. Like these are teams that are really good. Granted, they don't have a ton to play for. Right. But like, they aren't traditionally great against these teams.
I know I've done this rant. We're recording out of order. This is podcasting with Greg and Ryan. So I'm sure I did this rant in the beginning. It's just, Jesse, so fucking stupid to me that the New York Rangers season is over on Monday and there is a playoff game that takes place during the regular season that will happen on Wednesday, 2 days after the Rangers season is over, to likely determine who the Rangers play 3 days after that in game one.
Yeah.
Why? Every other sport ends on the same day, almost at the same time, where all these baseball, a 162 game season. For game 162, they go, guys, it's on a Sunday. You're all playing at 3. Suck it up. This is what we're doing.
Do you have room up on the soapbox for a second?
Come on,
because let me tell you something else that pisses me off real quick. Hockey is cyclical, right? So over the course of an 82 game season, teams go up, they go down, right? Even the Rangers, for as good as they've been this year, they've had pockets of not so good. Right. Why does the NHL feel it's necessary to not have the Penguins and Rangers play till after goddamn Christmas? Right. and all four games get packed into a 3 week span. How is that representative of the full breadth of work of both of those teams that you take all of the division games and you pack them into 5 weeks? What about Thanksgiving? Right. Halloween would be a great time for them to play. Like I would kill to see the Rangers like maybe opening night. Would that kill us to get like a October Rangers Penguins game? I just feel like we never get people because, you know, the first inclination for a playoff series is prepare head to head from the regular season. Well, I think in this case, you might as well throw the damn thing out the window because it comes from such a short window of time that's useless information. And every year, I feel like the Penguins and Rangers don't play until March.
Jesse, 50% of the Ranger Islander matchups for this entire season happen in the next 7 days.
Yeah, that's a great example of what I'm talking about. So this doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I would space the, you know what they should, this has been my idea for years, Greg, have division weeks, right? Weeks in the NHL schedule where you only play in your division and space those weeks out periodically throughout the rest of the schedule. So you guarantee you get this nice, even smattering. You could dress it up for television. It's division week. Look at all these great games. You do whatever you want. Like, have a Saturday where you play noon through 10 p.m. in Division Week. But Jesse, no, that's too much. Can't do that.
Jesse, there was a week this year where the Rangers played in order the Devils, Hurricanes, Islanders, Penguins, and Capitals, and nobody thought to call it Rivalry Week for the Rangers. They were just like, nope, hockey.
Normal business here. Yeah, business as usual. Yeah, the Penguins played the Blackhawks twice, like, in the first 2 weeks of the season.
It's just so dumb. The Rangers season will be over, and there will be games of consequence that impact the Rangers season happening after they play. How is there just not, one, why is the regular season ending during the week? Two, why aren't all these teams playing on the same night so that you can't do weird fucking schedule shit and bench players? That could then, like, the Rangers' last game of the year, Ryan, who is, it's against what, the Islanders?
Oh, no, it's against the Senators.
Oh,
it couldn't matter less.
But yeah, luckily for every team involved, the Rangers are not, but imagine, Jesse, the Rangers had the Islanders on Monday, 2 days before the Penguins are about to have the Islanders. The game will mean nothing to the Rangers. They could sit fucking everybody, and that game could then impact what the Penguins do. Why are you allowing for this chicanery?
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make a lick of sense to me. I don't get it. I'll never get it, and I feel like we miss out on a lot. But hey, we got the next 52 stadium series matchups lined up for the next 150 years.
Well, 37 of them involve Connor Bedard.
So. Yeah, 100. That's right. Yeah.
Well, one last thing here. This also is an unfair advantage to the Rangers, who have extra days of rest before the playoffs.
The Rangers are going to be off for a full week.
That's what I'm saying. Is that an advantage? I don't know.
It's like, stupid. That's all it is. It's just fucking. And you know what else is stupid? Ryan and I need to plan a fucking watch party. I can't do this
shit. Jesse, now we're actually going to let you go.
The eclipse is taking a different toll for all of us, you know. I'm telling you. So,
pleasure, my friend. Anything you want to plug?
No. I mean, I feel like in a point now where I'm too afraid to write about anything because every hour, like, the playoff scenario changes. So I wrote about Sidney Crosby a lot this year, but I think if they get in, I'm probably just going to do it one more time. So maybe look out for that. I'm out of ideas.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, and maybe we'll see each other in the playoffs.
Enjoy. Thank you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Okay, cool. Good interview with Jesse. Great rants at the end there, my friend. And all correct. All correct. If you want to do 5-star questions on the show, you can go to our Patreon, become a subscriber, go to our Discord, and leave a 5-star question, and we will read them on the show every single week. I do believe I got a text version of one of these from Lara, and I'm going to get that one up as I get there. But let's start with from last week. This is from Zach Ho. VC dropping the first line and getting after Lazard was by design by Labby, right? I guess I don't really remember this play. This was in Detroit, I'm assuming.
No, what are you talking about? He's talking about the line brawl, which we haven't brought up once on this podcast yet.
We didn't bring up the line brawl here?
No.
Oh my God, because we did 35 minutes on OT?
We did.
Oh man, that's a mistake on our part.
Is it? You know what I haven't had a conversation about in 4 days?
Fair. I had a lot of people that don't care about hockey at all. Like one of my coworkers who just does not care. He was like, "Hey, I was reading the paper today. What's up with the Rangers?" He's like, "Is this every game?"
Hey, no, it made the paper. That's good.
I know. Good. Crazy.
Where does he still get papers?
Great question. I mean, New York Times probably.
Should
probably,
ask.
Probably virtual is my guess. Anyway, VC dropped the goal getting after Lazard was by design by Labby, right? It was, I don't think it was by design at all. I think it just happened to be that he fought first. I don't think, I kind of believe them that they said that they didn't know that everybody was going to fight. Or do you think that everybody knew?
Well, the coaches might not have. Barclay Goodrow knew he was going to fight. Okay. This is, I just want to point everybody to that OT. The nicest I've ever been about any hockey player ever was me talking about Barclay Goodrow on BSBOT during that line brawl. The man doesn't bother to fake the face off. He picked out the biggest non-McDermott guy on the ice and said, you fucking ball of goo back there, I'm coming for your ass. And he just dropped his gloves, dropped his stick, skated towards Kevin Ball, beat his ass. All of a sudden, he's a goal scorer. Well, Peter Laviolette knew that would happen. But I know that Barclay Goodrow knew that would happen. And that's why I like Barclay Goodrow.
Look, I thought the brawl was amazing. I have no problem with it. It was so freaking fun. Did we read this one last week from Jets Rangers? Is it okay still be good, furious at Gerard Gallant? It was. Yes, cool. We did that one already. We still are, by the way. This is from Absent Seller. Why are the Rangers scratching Rempe? I miss him. This is from April 4th.
When I said at the trade deadline when the Rangers added all these guys and I was like, the next step in Ranger fan development is what happens to the backlash of Matt Rempe not being in the lineup every night?
Yep, exactly. It's from Blind Zebra looking for work. Do you think May 5th, 2021 has a connection to Wednesday night since Lavi also said behind one of the benches and was putting Rempe in the lineup, creating a circus, best thing that we could have done leading up to the playoffs? I don't know what happened May 5th, 2021. That's
when Panarin's head would try to win through the ice.
That's Panarin? Yeah. I don't think that has anything to do with it.
No. No, I think, you know, and I don't think Laviolette ever had a leash on Tom Wilson, whether that was encouraged or he's one of those guys. Like, I don't think Boston's got a leash on Brad Marchand. I think Marchand's tomfoolery and fuckery level is completely different than that of Tom Wilson's. But, like, the Rangers are trying to leash Matt Rempe a little bit because we've seen what out of control Matt Rempe can do. It's not great. It takes away from all the good things he does on the ice. So they're telling him not to fight everybody. They're telling him to pick his punches, doing all these different things. Tom Wilson's just a guy that you allow exist. And whether that's problematic in its own right is one thing. But no, I don't think there's a connection between what happened during a weird COVID game and a line brawl against the Devils. The line brawl is fucking Travis Green's fault, first and foremost.
I do think, not that we're going to do this podcast over, and you can listen to the BSBOT where we talk exclusively about the line brawl, and it's out there for you, I promise. But the quotes from this team over the past week and a half, like the Instagram, like the meet me in the alley with the troops, Keandre Miller, the fight, everything, every Matt Rempe quote that's been out there has been phenomenal content. A plus. And kind of a failure on my part to not have that in the open. So I just want to apologize for that.
Well, you know, I agree. That's
Thank
all
you.
I'll say. I just, listen, I'm glad the team likes each other. I guess that's my take on the line brawl. I think that shit's important. I do. Because it sure didn't seem like at times last year.
They did not.
That the team was cohesive and liked each other. Mostly because the team didn't fucking know each other.
Laviolette made them hug every practice for the first 3 months. Okay?
No, but they added so many guys from January onward that like Tyler Mott walks in and Patrick Kane goes, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
What is it you say you do here, man?
Get my revenge. All right, so this is from Blue Jack City. Who is this team's
Justin Williams?
That's
a hell of a name, by the way. Big fan.
Who is this team's Justin Williams? To me, it's just like, instinctually, it's Chris Kreider?
No, because here's the thing. We don't get to anoint who Justin Williams is, okay? The Rangers' original Justin Williams was a guy by the name of Henrik Lundqvist. It's not fun to say that, but nobody performs better in game sevens with the game on the line than Henrik Lundqvist. Justin Williams was the forward version of that. I don't get to sit here and say who I think will be Justin Williams. I can tell you I hope it's Artemi Panarin. I hope it's Alexi Lafreniere, but whoever that person is gets to decide for themselves who they are, and they will make themselves known, and we will see them like the promised sun parting the Red Sea.
We've gotten some questions today that I'm sort of like afraid to read.
Oh, Jesus Christ Almighty.
Afraid? Like one from Billy Raz, and there's another one I just like kind of scanned by, and two of them are kind of about like, hey, is there any chance Jacob Trouba isn't the captain next year? And I just want to, guys, we could talk about it over the summer. We'll have plenty more time. There's no chance.
It's once again a failure of fan correlation. I don't like this guy, so surely the team feels the same way. I don't know how many times you want me to do this with Barclay Goodrow, whether in the Slack or on this podcast.
But I think percentage-wise, and I'm not saying this will happen, Greg, mm-hmm. percentage-wise, there is a much, 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 much bigger chance that Barclay Goodrow is not on the team next year than Jacob Trouba.
Sure, but there's a higher, if one thing is 7% and one thing is 1%, what you're saying is still true.
I think Goodrow is much higher than 7, but yes. And I think the Trouba thing is like less than 5.
I don't think the Barclay Goodrow thing is much higher than 7.
Really?
Unless, again, this is why we haven't had the offseason discussions yet, because we don't know how the season ends. If the Rangers get swept in 4 games in the first round of the playoffs, there will be wholesale changes on this year roster, and Barclay Goodrow will be one of them. If the Rangers make an Eastern Conference Finals, they're running it back. I don't know what else to tell you. They're not going to make wholesale changes. Their changes will be young players will replace other players, and that's it. But one of those players is not going to be Barclay Goodrow.
It's from Brian. What the hell is Panger drinking in between the benches at MSG, and why does it give Panarin superpowers?
Transformer jizz.
Very close. He did, I think he did a mixology class at MSG. Swear to God, they showed a segment of him making the drink. So it was something fancy. No idea. But Panarin drinks it every single time, and then he goes God mode. This is from 4-Star David. Which franchise is worse, the A's or the Coyotes? I think the A's.
Well, it's...
pick your poison.
I think it's difficult because I think the A's is more insidious and evil. I think the Coyotes genuinely is a horribly run organization. But they're not... like, the A's are a well-run organization run by evil people. They wanted out. They are getting out. They found a way to show that they're... a league dominated by attendance numbers, we're not drawing fans. The league doesn't ask why you're not drawing fans because they don't care. I don't think the A's are a poorly run team. I think they are a well-run team with an extremely evil guy. I think the Coyotes are fucking idiots.
It's malpractice.
Yeah, like the Coyotes being allowed to operate a major professional franchise is... a different level of allowing a super evil man to operate a major professional franchise. I'm confident if the A's needed to be good, that they have people in place that can make them good. Whereas the Coyotes, I don't think they know, if they were to ask for money, where to tell people to send the checks. Like, it's different levels here.
I think you're spot on. This is from Siege. Which can answer this question pretty easy. Probably an easy question, but why did some players get ejected the Devils fight? So there's a rule that after the first fight, anybody else who joins is ejected for the game. It's to stop line brawls, and even though line brawls are good for the game. There you go.
But again, and I said this on OT, and it's worth repeating again, they're good because they don't happen. So when they do happen, I would compare it to like a solar eclipse, Ryan. Where
cool once in a while.
Yeah, if this sun thing happened once a year, you want to know what you wouldn't give a shit about?
That.
This sun thing that happens once a year.
Yep.
But when it happens completely out of the blue, seemingly, and completely spontaneously, though I don't think, you know, lunar movements involve spontaneity.
No, everybody knows when the next one is.
Correct.
So.
But when it's rare, it's great. When it's something that happens more often than it should, it's a problem. Keep it rare. Like, the Rangers should do one every 12 years. I think that's great. And do it against the Devils again. So that way we can just go from 1 to 2 to 3. But if I see one in the next 5 years, too soon. This is why, it's a fascinating theory, why a big reason people didn't give a shit about Barry Bonds chasing the single season home run record wasn't because he was an asshole. It was part of the reason. But it was simply because it had only been 3 years. Whereas McGuire and Sosa did it some 48 years later.
Right, it's a much bigger deal.
So it was a much bigger deal because it's simply something we haven't seen. When it happens 3 years later, you go, bro, I've seen this movie. I don't need to see it again. Why am I watching this shit?
Jay White asks, Greg, is there a chance you do a Mets watch party this year?
Oh, God, no. What do you mean? Like, watch what? Watch me melt down?
Yeah, watch
it. It's been 9 games. I'm miserable. What are you talking about?
This is from our dear friend and Ben Waters, which is wow. Thank you for joining, Ben.
Yeah, I've prepared a comeback for Ben because this was one of the most batshit ridiculous things I've seen. Makes me think that he might be Jaybird.
I haven't read it yet. But I like Ben a lot. I hope he's doing well.
Well, hey, fellas. You might not like him at the end of this comment.
Wow, Jesus. Okay, is that bad? Okay. Just so everyone at home, like, does Brian pre-read the questions? No. Hey, fellas. Second time trying to figure out Discord. Thank you for figuring out. I can't do it. There's too much going on. Makes me feel old. On the other hand, you two mubs complain about hurting your elbow by sleeping on it the wrong way. So my question is this. Who is older? You guys can maneuver around Discord or this 49-year-old girl who whipped both your asses and start talking about his back. I'm trying to figure out how much you need to roll my eyes when you guys whine about 30, 35. Just for reference, Ben's picture is him shirtless and ripped.
Yeah. So we need to make clear of one thing. We're two things here. One, yeah. I hurt my elbow in the shower, motherfucker, not in bed. Two, Ben is a gorgeous human. I believe he's a paid actor. Like he is, Ben is 49. Ben. Jack to the nines, I'd fuck him. Like, no questions asked.
And you're straight.
At the same time, Ben also lives such a boring sports life because he's a San Diego Padres fan. So he roots for such a boring team that he's never even felt heartbreak. And I can't relate to that.
Wow, I can't believe we're chopping it up with the lads right now.
Who's older? I'm going to say the guy who can't use Discord is older. Because what you and I are going through as 35-year-olds is just, listen, baseball pitchers get hurt all the time. I'm sorry I'm not from Ben's generation where people were just tougher and we won wars. I'm from this generation where I grew up typing on a keyboard and now I have fucking gout or whatever the shit I have.
You know what really annoys me, though, is Ben's life is pretty much like wake up, get jacked, drink martinis, and sit on a beach.
Yeah.
Screw off.
Oh, Ben wants to comment on our hard life. Meanwhile, he lives somewhere where it's 72 and sunny every day.
Yeah, sorry, how about, buddy.
Live somewhere where there are fucking seasons,
sorry,
bro.
Sorry that you're so happy and have a nice family.
Yeah, you want to know why my elbow clicks in December? Because it's -7 outside. And this is the hell that I live in, buddy.
What Dylan asks, what's scarier, 4.8 earthquake or if the Mets start 0-6? They didn't, so they there you go.
Did you feel the earthquake?
Yes, big time. Wow. I was on a meeting with a very big client, and we had to stop it because someone was like, "Hey, your entire earth shaking? Yes, what's going on?"
We were up near Lake George for Spather's bachelor party, and it was fascinating being in a room with about 11 other guys where all 11 of their wives immediately text them being like, "Babe, are you okay? Did you feel the earthquake?" Meanwhile, I check my phone and it's my dad just going, "You're watching this shit?"
The Mets?
Just the Mets. And it's like, "Did you turn it off yet? Do you want to kill yourself?" And I'm like, "Oh, did you know there was an earthquake?" And he was like, "Oh, I thought it was just my heart breaking." And I go, "Great. This is my father. Everybody else seems to be happy and matured and I'm not."
They're amazing. This is from Izbox. We had a great conversation in the game thread.
Oh, okay.
Well, first of all, I'll start there.
I mean, if we're telling lies, we can tell a better
tell
one.
Tell me
than
if
that.
I'm telling lies during intermission in the Wings game about the best drunk sing-along songs. The group has proposed some true bangers. What do you guys have as your top no shame song to belt out when drunk at a wedding or something like that?
Well, first of all, every song.
Yeah,
I think
Mr. Bright Eyes is like
Mr. Bright Side. Isn't it Bright Side?
It is. Yeah, I can't even. Yeah,
I do think that has become the our friends would say the white boy anthem.
It is.
It's probably the one because it has to be a song everybody knows.
Yeah, and everyone's got to get popping on it.
Has to be a song where you can't really dance to it, but you could like jump around to it because. If it was a song that was a real danceable song, you wouldn't want to be singing. You'd want to be moving.
You can't as like scream and together with it. You got to kind of move around.
Yep. So, but like Mr. Brightside does the perfect thing where you can like jump up and down because it's got a good beat, but you don't feel like you're missing out on a dance by singing it.
10 minutes remaining for me and I got to run. This is from Zook. What makes Greg angry? The Mets starting season terrible or Brett Beatty on fire on the same team? Has he been good?
He made a couple good. This is what I'm saying. People get so excited when this fucking mope hits a single. Like, guys, I promise you, there have been better players that have done better things. He's made a couple really important good defensive plays against the Reds on, call it Friday. I don't know what day it was.
Sure.
I'm not going to be
a professional MLB player.
Right. I'm sorry that I have higher expectations for what I consider a good baseball player than some guy currently hitting 250 with an OPS below 800. I get that Lindor stinks right now and Nimmo stinks right now and McNeil stinks right now and that Alonso stinks right now and that Harrison Bader wouldn't know what a fucking fastball was if one hit him square between the eyes. I understand all these things are true. That doesn't mean the one guy hitting 200 is actually good. That just means they all suck. That's all it means.
This is from Remy. Ryan, can you name three musical Greg has seen this year?
You should be able to.
Chicago?
That's one. Oh, this God. Is embarrassing for you.
Oh, God.
I bitched about one of them for a very long time on this podcast with you.
Yeah, that was the Oklahoma one, right?
The one named Oklahoma. That is correct. I'll give you one. That one. That's two.
We talked about Les Mis, but I don't think you've seen it.
No, no.
Gina saw it.
Gina saw it in London. Hated it.
Yeah. Oh, God. Can't really name a third.
Well, it's shocking that you don't remember that it was Anything Goes, where I saw the greatest single performance of my entire life.
Ah, yes. I did not remember. Yeah. Anyway, that's how much I care. So this is from Michael Sandin.
See you in Chicago again, this time by adults next week. It should be really good.
There you go. Congratulations. It's from Michael Sandin 816. Who has lived up to their pre-draft hype the most? McDavid, LeBron James, or Harper? It's LeBron James, and it's not particularly close.
I don't know, because it's... It's easy to say that because LeBron's 40, so he's been doing this for 28 years.
Won a bunch of fucking rings. He's been amazing. Yeah, he's awesome.
Connor McDavid has been better than we hyped him out to be.
Bryce is third with a bullet on that list.
Right, and it's not like Bryce has been bad. He's won two MVPs. Hasn't been bad.
Okay.
We've been over this. How many times do you want to go
I think he's grown into his own. Last year, he really won me over in the playoffs.
Where do you live again?
Philadelphia, yeah.
That's interesting how you would say that. At this
got to watch him. He's very good.
Interesting. It's LeBron because LeBron is truly one of the two greatest players of all time. But in McDavid's defense, he could also be one of the two greatest players of all time, but won't have the rings LeBron has. But you do have to remember, there was a time, I don't know, was it 8 years before LeBron won a ring and he had to leave Cleveland to do it? It's hard to say LeBron with a bullet right now because LeBron's career is the closest to having a conclusion. But I don't think at the same age that LeBron was, I don't think McDavid is necessarily off track with how many rings LeBron won.
Yeah, fair. It's hard for me to see. It's hard for me to see Connor McDavid finishing as the second best player in hockey history.
But I honest to God hate comparing other sport athletes to basketball players.
It is different. The rings thing, ring culture doesn't count here.
It's just like there are five dudes on the court at one time for one team, and there is a clear pecking order every time. Whereas McDavid, as great as he is, never plays 60% of a hockey game.
Adam, your question I'm gonna have to answer next week. We don't have time to do it, but let's get a top three of the top or top five favorite rankings of deadline acquisitions for the Rangers. Man,
deadline acquisitions.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'd have to even remember all of them.
Yeah, we'll do that another time. Let's talk to Seamus. Which Ranger needs to borrow Laf's softball and beer regimen this offseason? I think everybody's been really fucking good. I don't really have a good answer.
Because here's the thing, there's Hedl. I guess.
Sure, yeah. Hedl needs to get healthy. And if he comes back and he's healthy, we're cooking with gas. Not that we aren't already, by the way. This is your Francis. How much scoreboard watching have you guys been doing the last week? I have been doing a lot. I've been paying attention because I've been checking the Bruins games nonstop. I really would like if they lost and we could just figure this thing out and be number one in the East with a couple games left to go. I'm assuming your answer is zero.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at the Braves occasionally to see what they're up to.
They're good. Surprise.
Well, are they?
No Spencer Strider, yeah.
Yeah. So. Boy.
Two more questions. This is from Cole. It's game seven and the Penguins, I'm just mentally prepping, in attempt to win, bring in Igor's only weakness, the sun. How would you neutralize the sun? The moon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just saw it. I know how to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Now that Cody has finished the story, what Ranger has to finish their story in the playoffs to ensue the team's success? Artemi Panarin.
Did you notice? It's the little details that get me. Samantha Irwin was crying, so she couldn't announce Cody Rhodes.
She was bawling. It was amazing.
She's incredible, by the way.
She's a stud.
I don't know which one of... is she the lucky one or is Ricochet the lucky one? Because look at Ricochet. That man, beautiful.
I didn't even know they were together.
Oh, my God, yes.
My God. My God, good for him. Great job. All right, final question.
Well, who needs to finish their story?
Oh, Panera. It's not close.
I think it is. I don't know.
It's Panarin.
I would say Zibanejad has more reckoning to do than Panarin.
Panarin has had two playoffs in a row where it's been super questionable. At least he's had a good one. I get that. But Mika's had a good one, too, after the Pittsburgh comeback where he started with a stinker and then just went on fire.
I don't know. Final question. It's one of them.
I got to run after this one. Allie loves Rangers. With four games left, is there anything y'all still want to see from the Rangers head to the playoffs? Or we could all be vibes on vibes on vibes, set a new franchise record, and maybe get bred to 50 goals.
Do you think if you go back 3 weeks ago, you could find the exact point in time where you and I said the results of games don't matter anymore, just be healthy?
Yes.
It's been at least 3 weeks, right?
Yes.
So I'm happy everyone's caught up. And
I not want to play the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'd like to keep winning, but it's okay if we do. That's it.
Would you rather play the Tampa Bay Lightning or a scorching hot Pittsburgh Penguins team? Like, you want to play this?
No.
Bad pissing contest?
I don't.
Everything sucks. The Rangers are going to have to beat someone three times to get to a Stanley Cup final.
Yes.
And the Athletic will say that they have 7% chance of doing it the whole time.
The fucking Hurricanes have a coin.
So I don't get where do you like you. I understand it's a model, but at some point, all a model is a scientific way to say pulling numbers out of your ass. That's it.
I do have to run to a doctor's appointment. Sorry for everyone for ending this early.
Oh, shit, it's 4:30. Yeah, get out of here. Go. Go
but love you guys. We'll be back later this week at BSBOT. Follow me at Twitter. Or I mean, follow Greg Bush. Love you. Bye. Hey, it's the end of the show where I read our NHL Insider Club members' names to thank them for supporting this silly podcast that we do all year round about the New York Rangers. And I choose a winner, of which we've had a couple now. And if someone wins three times, we figure out what they're going to get, of which I should do soon. But I haven't, because I'm a busy man. And I hate myself. Okay. Adam Cohen, Adam Curtulo, Adam Keach, Alex Flynn, Alex Carter, Amber Cohensberger, Andrew Ron, Anthony Gray, Anthony McCall, Anthony Monturu, Anthony Tedegretta, April Erickson, Ari Zanger, Avery Rules, Ben Waters. Ben Waters, who we talked about in the five-star questions section, my dear friend. Bennett Lemaire, Bill Olson, Bill Ritzel, Bowen Greenleaf, Brandon Lakos, Brendan Magnum, Brick Ranger, Brian Doherty, Brian Doyle, Brian Gallagher, what just happened to me? What? Why do I lose the ability to speak? Brian Mallon, Brian Sotavia, Brian Farrell, Cassidy Roloman, CJ, Chris Finelli, Chris Howard, CJ Selad, and Conrad Padama, Daniel Delaney, Daniel DeZen, David Narrett, David Siegel, Dennis Deitz, DJ Banana Jazz, Dr. Kruger, Dylan Breschneider, Eric Stagg, Gabe Valley, Garrett Reynolds, Gib Gardner a Cup, Graham Clinton, Greg, Gretzky McFly, Harrison Hasco. Next page. Hella Vanilla, Hip Hip 89, Ian Usher, Jack Bagley, Jack Grogan, Jake Keith, James Masker, Jerry Marquez, Jason Stumer, Jason Zabrowski, Joanna, John Hardesty, John Shea, Johnny Thundercock, Jordan, Josh, Joseph Sirko, Josh Kestenbaum, Josh White, Chris Florida, Carl Schwingen. That's not right. Kevin Suirica. That's not right either. That's terrible, Ryan. Jesus, man. Lee Plummer, Leszek Gronowski, Lou Giordano, Matthew Goodwin, Matthew Kine, Meatball the Cat, Michael Koenig, Mike Bucklaw, Mike Mancuso, Mike Pasternak, Nate Hannafin, Neeks, Neil Grover, Ponce Perez, /, Pascal Perrier, Paul J. Smith, Pavel Kodrep, Phoenix Edition, PJ Sisbar, Randy Tesser, Ryan Sieb, Ryan Wash Miracle, Swinegar of the Drop, PK, Tommy Sinclair, Tommy Tedeschi, Tommy O'Neill. And I can't believe it. There's more. Tony Gregory, Tor from Manhattan, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, Wolf Spectre, and Winston the Golden Retriever. Bark, 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 bark. Okay, end of the show. I don't know. I there's some weeks we finished the show. I'm like, damn, that was an awesome show. Today I feel like it was a good show, but it wasn't. Like, I wanted to give you guys more. I wish I would have done a full breakdown of the brawl and all that stuff. I didn't do that, and I failed you as a podcast host. Please forgive me. I just feel like the brawl happened years ago at this point. Years! But there is a BSBOT, so check that out. And, yeah, that's it. Next week, getting ready for the playoffs. Monday's obviously the final game. We'll be recording right after it. And then I think we might do a bonus episode for the whole mainstream of just getting ready for the playoffs and who are we going to be playing? Because they don't play till the 17th, the Islanders and Pittsburgh Penguins, and things might matter. Game might actually matter. So stay tuned. We finally made it. And hey, enjoy this last week because this team's awesome. I'm really, I was going to hang up the phone here, but I'm really struggling with how much I love this team, how enjoyable it's been, how much my hopes have risen over the last month, how I can't believe how good they are, with the expectation of, God, it's so hard to win a Stanley Cup, and my heart is going to be ripped out of my chest with a spork if they don't do it. And I want more regular season games because just every single one of these games with this team is so enjoyable, so fun, so loving and in-depth. Like, there's some stuff that I just want to keep watching. But the joy of sports is the evolution. And the joy of life is the evolution of just, hey, man, everything changes all the time and you got to adapt and figure it out. Your form is what it is. But man, right now, like, these are the good times, dude. Like, I will talk about this team for a long time. I will talk about that Artemi Panarin line for a long time, the career year, everything. And I wish it didn't have to end, but it has to end for a good reason because they got to go make this happen. Not steal a line from WWE, even though I'm WWE mind out of my brain. I'm so red-pilled for WWE right now. It's ridiculous. It's white hot. And I can't stop thinking about it. But like they legitimately have to finish the story. This is it. It's not going to get better than this. So I love this team, and it's been an awesome season. Love you guys. We'll talk soon.